You're listening to The Plumbing Sales Coach, where we give companies the strategies and skills to create a massive customer following. Fresh. Thank you for making us part of Spotify's top 10% most shared and followed podcast. And now, your host, Chris.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of The Fresh Approach. I'm your host, CF, the Plumbing Sales Coach, and today we're going to talk about something so cool. Recently, I had the opportunity to meet someone who I think a lot of us might remember, might even know from our younger years of watching TV and growing up, and it's a really cool story, and we're going to learn a lot from this person that I met. I'm going to tell you who it is here in just a few minutes, but it's so cool, and for those of you that have been around for a long time, I'm a 70s kid, was born in the 70s, raised in the 70s, and 80s and grew up around this show. There was an era of TV, if you will, and this show was one of the staples in that area. In fact, I think they had 9 or 10 seasons. Very popular show. And this particular person I met was one of the main roles in this show. And the guy was really cool on the show, full of wisdom, full of insight. But in real life, he's the same way. And actually was very gracious, very nice for his for who he was and who he is. And I just really enjoyed the time. And I think we're going to learn a lot from that. I'm going to tell you guys how I met him and how we had a chance to get to know one another for a couple hours, and really cool individual, and what we can learn from his life, what we can learn from his story, from his successes and his struggles and what he went through. I'm not going to give away too much of his story. There were some things that he shared that I'm going to keep to myself, but there are some things that I think we can pull out of that story. It's such a cool story, such a cool person. I mean, just great, great individual, and I cannot wait to share that for you. For those that are listening for a long time, you know that we are now in full stride. We are releasing regular episodes on a regular basis again, and excited to be doing that. Please like and share and follow. We are the top 10% most followed podcast and shared podcast. That's so cool on Spotify, and that's globally. And what's even more crazy to me is the majority of our listeners actually come from Apple. So for us to hit such a high ranking on Spotify is really cool and just such a blessing. And we're privileged to be a part of it. We love all of you, the Fresh Force out there, that you guys that watch and follow the show, and all the messages you send in. They're so encouraging, and all the impact that's being made. That's why we do it. We love it. So glad you guys are a part of it as well. And I just really enjoy that. And one of the things we want to be is a positive part of your day, a way for us to lift you up, to motivate you, to encourage you, to hold you accountable, to pursue you, we want to pursue you so that you'll pursue greatness, so that you'll pursue this idea of giving your customers a better experience, to giving people around you a better experience. Look, I'm not speaking as someone who has it all figured out. I'm someone who makes this mistake constantly. I've made several mistakes in the past, and I continue to make mistakes, especially when it comes to people. People are difficult. It's a difficult deal. It's people with people. That's what life is all about. That's what we're doing down here on this place called Earth. And the idea of then starting a business and serving people and meeting people when they're in a broken situation or a fallen situation, especially when it comes to service plumbing. Look, there's a lot of industries out there that serve people and take care of people and deal with people's needs and wants and problems. But in plumbing and service plumbing, we are dealing with people who are in distress. Okay. Oftentimes the people are in distress, and then the service plumber who is on the site is in distress. The CSR that took the call can be in distress based on the way the customer's handling things. We're not getting this customer always in their best mode, in their best day, in their best form. Sometimes we're getting the worst version of someone because they're stressed out, and it's going to be a financial impact on them that they weren't expecting, that they don't want. And in today's economics, I hear a lot of people say things like, Chris, the economy, that's why sales are down. No, we prove that day in and day out that that's not true. The process works. But what I would say is that it can be even more stressful in today's economy. People will still spend the money that they have to spend in order to get the plumbing fixed. And if done correctly and in a way that's safe and an environment that they can trust, like meaning the customer, then they'll be more open to the advice that you have to give and be more willing probably to make the bigger repair or to invest in the real repair. But again, it all comes back to that main thing of stress. And people are stressed out. And so we just love making that impact with you and with you for them. I know the owners can be stressed. It's people serving people. And this guy that I met, man, what a great story of people. What a great story. And we're going to learn a lot from it. Just to kind of peel back the curtain, for those that don't know, this individual was a bartender on the show. His name was Isaac, and it was none other than the Love Boat. That's right, the Love Boat. And Isaac from the Love Boat, Ted Lang, everyone, that is who I met. And the guy is absolutely awesome. I challenge you to go look and research and watch some of the interviews that he's done over the years. But the guy's awesome. Okay. Just a true gentleman and a great, great person, really relational, very social. And I just had a good conversation with him and learned a lot about his life. In fact, he was getting ready to give a speech, I think the next day. And he shared some of that speech with me and what he learned in his own life. And I want to share that with you guys today because I think we can learn through success is something that is found in multiple places of the earth and multiple industries and multiple environments and multiple circumstances. And so was failure. And a lot of times we get wrapped up in other people's failures and successes in a comparison game, like I'm better than, and we get prideful, or I'm never going to be enough, and we become, our self-esteem start to fall apart. And the reality is all of that's irrelevant. What we should be doing is looking at people's failures and finding out how they failed and why they failed and what went wrong so we can learn from them, and looking at people's successes and figure out what went right and what went well for them so that we can learn from them and we can start to apply them into our own life. We need to understand why they worked, and then we also need to understand what worked so that we can then apply that into our circumstance, our situation. We talked about that, I don't know, 4 or 5 episodes ago, the idea of really understanding the power of what works and why it works. And I really hope that you guys, as you listen to these podcasts, are pulling that these frameworks are really applicable in all areas of life. Not just in our service plumbing business, really in any business, in any kind of sales situation, and really even in any kind of circumstance personally, husband and wife, husband, father to kids, mother to kids, whether it be community at church, whether it be a community at the social ecosystem that you're a part of, all these things can be applied because it's people with people. It's people with people. And that's what we can learn from Ten Leng. This gentleman was on the Love Boat. For a lot of you that probably are like me, we think that these people try out for a role and they get this role and then life just takes off. They get their big break. That's not what happens. They break into their big break. And a lot of times we miss that. If you guys have ever seen the meme that's out there, the analogy that's out there of the iceberg, when people only see the tip of the iceberg, they don't see all of the ice underneath the water. That's the struggle and hard work and stress and everything that someone puts into having some success. We see this meme associated to business owners a lot of times, but it also applies to every area of life where there's success. There's a lot of work and a lot of failure and a lot of stuff that people don't see. And then eventually they just finally see, boom, look at this person. They're online, they're doing their thing. You know, even my own story, it's the same way. There's a lot of stuff a lot of you didn't see. You weren't in some of the meetings early on when I first got into plumbing. You weren't there when it was really struggle, when I didn't understand the industry. You guys weren't there when I met with that first plumbing company and was trying to help their plumbers, and no one thought that I had any information for them or that I could help them because I came from a different background. And so I eventually had to go into the crawl spaces, had to go in and start plumbing. And then I spent the next 3 years off and on in and out of the field. And then the next 6 years after, I mean, just constantly proving myself in the trade and earning my way to the point to where now I'm able to go into a shop and make an impact. There's a journey there that a lot of people didn't see and they weren't a part of. Okay, well, that's true for this person as well. That's true for any person. But for him specifically, he was actually in New York. He wasn't in LA. And he was doing these plays and he was doing these different things. And what had happened was he had been told that if he relocated, if he moved, if he picked up and walked away from all of the successes that he was currently in the middle of having, if he relocated and he moved, that it would open up new doors. But it was just somebody saying something in a meeting that they didn't mean. And when he moved, that was not the reality. And we're going to hear a little bit about what he had to do. Because you could imagine in that state, it's easy to become a victim. It's easy to sit there and look and go, look at what's happening to me. Look at what's going on. And what we find is that the circumstances of life do not dictate the result. Okay, you do. Your response is what matters. When my kids mess up and they get in trouble, there's always this awkwardness, right, of the parent coming down on the kid and us working through that. And one of the things that I've tried to teach my kids and something that I've been very outspoken on is that I'm not so worried about the mistake or the crime. I'm more worried about the response because what I'm interested in is this going to happen again? And I can tell right away with someone whether or not this is going to happen again based on their response. If they're a victim, it wasn't my fault, I didn't know, and it's going to happen again. If they're like, man, I really messed up right here, I'm sorry, I need to get this straightened out. Usually it's not going to happen again. Okay, and that's the response matters. The circumstances of life do not dictate the result, the response does. Okay, that's really powerful. And what we saw, what I learned in this story is how he did that. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. Okay, first of all, just quickly want to make sure that a lot of you know, we have a Facebook group. We offer up different things. We also have a website. If you guys have any help that you are in need of, meaning your technicians, or you're a technician struggling, or you're trying to figure out how to figure out this business of service plumbing, the price book, the scheduling, all of that together. How does that work? Because we don't believe that it's just a price book issue, just a scheduling issue. These things all work together. All these processes have to work together, and they have to be aimed at the same goal and the same motives. And your team has to have messaging inside of the company so they can understand what the vision and the goal of the company is. There has to be branding in place, marketing in place, all these things going together. If you want some help with that, if you need some help with that, just reach out to us. Look, we'll help you for free. We'll help you get into one of our sessions so that you can learn a little bit more about what we teach and actually get some information, get something that you can implement into your business while you kind of go through the process of learning more about us. We don't do contracts here. We don't do anything like that. So if you just want some help, reach out to us. We'll let you join one of our sessions at no charge. You'll speak to our growth expert, Mary, who will help you kind of understand our different programs and what we'd even do here. And then from there, if you have interest in that, we'll get you into one of the sessions and let you check it all out. After that, you can do whatever you want. Join the program, walk away, take the knowledge you have, implement it, do whatever you want, make the impact you need to make. But we just want to help. We just want to be here to serve and be that first example. So that's why we try to make things as easy as possible when building a relationship with us. Just reach out to info@theplumbingsalescoach.com, email us, or go to our website, theplumbingsalescoach.com. And you can basically just fill out the contact form right there. I think even at the bottom, the phone number pops up somewhere on the screen on your phone if you go to the website, and you can just call or text or whatever. So reach out to us and we'll get you set up. Now let's talk a little bit more about Ted Lang. I want to make sure you guys really understand how cool this guy was. First of all, I get on the plane, I get on late. I was sitting up in the front portion of the plane. As you can imagine, Ted was sitting up in the front portion of the plane. And when we got on the plane, you know, they load that part first, and I was kind of getting down to the gate a little late. I was busy talking to someone in the lounge, and it just was late. So I got down there, and they were like boarding group number 3 or 4, and it was a long line coming all the way out of the jetway, and I thought, I'm not going to wait in that line. So I just sat down and waited until they finished filling the whole plane, and then I was the last one on. So I got on. When I got on the plane, everyone was already seated, threw my luggage up above, and had to ask the gentleman to stand up so I could get in there. I said, excuse me, sorry, I'm a little bit late. And he's like, oh, no problem, and he kind of wants to help me with my bag, and he's just real nice guy. So lets me in. I sit down. We get to talking for 2 or 3 minutes pretty quick. And real nice guy, just super nice guy. And he reminded me of my great Aunt Betty. I had a great Aunt Betty who was played with me a lot when I was a kid, did a lot of things. I remember very fond memories, was always laughing when I was with her, always had a lot of joy with her. And this guy reminded me of her. Even his voice, even his accent, all of it sounded the same. And I was like, man, can I just tell you, you remind me of someone? I said, this is going to be weird. I said, but you're going to learn in the next couple hours I'm weird anyways. So I said, you remind me a lot of my Aunt Betty and my great Aunt Betty. I said, just your laughter, your smile, all that. I said, you're very, very friendly, very comfortable. She's like one of my favorite people on earth. I said, I don't know why I'm telling you that, but I said, you just do. And he says, well, he was really appreciative of that. And we talked about that for a minute. And then I said, where are you from? Are you going to Indiana? Do you live in Indiana? Or what are you going to be doing in Indiana? And he goes, well, I'm going to give a speech in Indianapolis. And I said, oh, where at? And he tells me where it's across the street from this theater. And I said, wait a minute, that's the convention center. That's a pretty big building. It must be a pretty big speech. I said, what do you do? And he kind of thought about it for a second. He said, well, I'm a Hollywood actor. And I said, really? And he goes, how old are you? And I said, I'm 47. And I don't know why, but something just clicked and I started to recognize him. And I go, wait a minute. And he goes, I was on a TV series. I said, wait, don't say nothing. I said, give me a second. And all of a sudden I was like, you know what? You're Isaac from The Love Boat. I said, you're the bartender. To get out of town. No way. And he goes, I sure am. He goes, he even made a joke. He said, I'll check your drink when we get up in the air. And so we talked for a couple hours, and you know, I said, well, what's your speech on? And so he begins to tell me this story. And it's just fascinating, okay? I want you guys to pull some of these things out of this. So number one is, I really want you guys to understand something. Skill is only part of it. Okay, if you're an owner right now and you're like, man, I feel like I can do this. I feel like I can be good at this. If you're a service plumber who just cares enough about the ability to take care of the plumbing needs inside the home, if you're a CSR, whatever you do for a living, the reality is that when we are in these situations, a lot of times we think that our skill and our knowledge is enough. But that's not enough to be successful in this world. That's only a part of it. You can go back and study Jamarcus Russell, the number one draft pick in the NFL, 1 year. Put on a bunch of weight in the offseason and didn't have that same value when it came time to play. Skill was not enough. The piece that most of us don't have, that we have to have, the piece that's intangible, the thing that can't be taught, the thing that you either have it or you don't, and you got to find it if you don't have it, and that is drive. That is this idea that I'm going to pursue at the cost of everything. I'm going to bust through the walls of pain. I'm going to climb the mountain. And if I get over one mountain and there's another mountain, I'm going to climb that one too. And nothing will stop me. That's drive. Kobe Bryant had it. Michael Jordan had it. The greats had it. They worked harder than others. Anthony Edwards, another NBA player going into the draft, was talked and they asked him, you know, what makes you work out so hard? And he said, it's Steve Kerr. I went to a pre-workout for the Golden State Warriors and they said they would not draft me number one just because I didn't work out hard enough. That's drive. That's something that can't be taught. That's an intangible. Work ethic will be displayed in your drive. Your desire to pursue greatness and not be a victim and constantly look for how to win will be an example of drive. These are very important. I used to always make these jokes and I used to think settlers back in the day, I said, you know, the lazy ones are on the East Coast. Please don't be offended by this. But the lazy ones are on the East Coast because they saw that first set of mountains or they got off the boats right on the beach and were like, we're not going nowhere. Then you had the next group. They made it to the Midwest. They weren't so much as lazy, but they were like, you know what? We made it through the mountains, but we're kind of done. Then you had those people that made it to Denver and they saw the mountains, the second set of mountains. They're like, yeah, we're not going any further. Then you had those people that made it all the way to the West Coast. I'm sure they were disappointed when they saw more water. But man, how many mountains did they have to cross? How many obstacles? What was that like for them? You know, that's crazy to me to think about how that was like back in the days of journeying across the U.S. Look, here's the reality, though. They all dealt with these really crazy circumstances, but it was their way they responded to them that really created the result that they weren't going to endure. And if you look at wildlife, you'll see this constantly. You'll see animals get attacked where there's no hope, and then somehow they get out of it. Somehow they figure out. They never quit. They never give up. Okay, that's the way we got to be. That's the way he was. When he moved from New York to California on this idea that it was going to open up doors and then it didn't, he had two choices. And when he was telling me the story, I actually started thinking about Walt Disney. A lot of you know I've gone to Disney World a lot and my family goes to Disney World a lot, and whether we agree with the brand or not and what their thinking is, at the end of the day, all we do is we go there and we have a great experience with these amusement parks. And it's really cool how Walt Disney had pursued this greatness, had pursued this idea, but failed and failed and failed and struggled and struggled and struggled and basically had more failures than successes. And in each failure, it drove him to be better. I think of the engineer, the architect, or the guy that created the symphony hall, I don't remember what it's called, but in Australia, the famous one in Sydney, right there on the water. And there's an amazing story there where this guy almost committed suicide because he kept failing at his design and his architect. He actually got fired and went back to Europe or wherever and had left Australia as a failure. Everyone saw him as a failure back in Europe. They brought another architect in. That guy couldn't figure it out either. The shells that they were building up over the stadium, they would break. They would never be able to handle the weight. And so then this guy, the original architect's on a boat and he's watching someone peel an orange and it clicks like, oh, we got to build the whole thing as a complete circle. And then if we break the pieces apart, they'll be able to support their own weight. Thought about the engineering side of it all and the architectural side of it all. Then he went back and designed what we now all say is awesome. Go back and read that story. It's really cool. But see, what happens is there's some people who will quit in that situation. Their brain pattern will shift. They'll either move on to the next thing or they'll just quit altogether. And then there's other people who will say, no, I'm going to figure it out. I'm going to keep going. I'm going to push through. Ted's one of those people. Ted's one of those people. It wasn't just all figured out for him. And it doesn't take a rocket scientist to go back and look at how he may have had additional obstacles at the time and era that he was trying to be successful. Okay, just there are certain periods of time. That's what makes Amelia Earhart so amazing. She did some amazing feats for any human, but for a woman to do it in that time, that was even more amazing. She did not let the obstacles in the mountains, which were far greater and far bigger for her than for any other guy and any other man that would try to do the same thing as her, they would have an easier path. I just think that's so amazing when you look at those stories. I love so many of these stories that we can look at in sports. You know, you could even move over to the 4-minute mile, another great example of what it's like in the human mindset to break through, to have drive, to not accept the false reality of what we're limited to, and instead break through to the limitless of our minds and our creativity and our imaginations, and to pursue greatness, to pursue these dreams that we have. You got to have drive. You could be an amazing singer with no drive, no one will hear you. Okay, you got to have drive. And drive is not something that can be taught or bought. You got to find it. Typically, we find it through suffering. Typically, we find it through failure. Typically, we find it through rock bottom. We hit the bottom and we say no more. And we pursue greatness. And we go for it. I mean, that's my story. I got tired. I got sick and tired. I was sick and tired of being sick and tired. I was tired of being broke. I was tired of being... I just kept going. And I wasn't smart enough to figure out that, you know, maybe I shouldn't be breaking through some of these obstacles. Thank goodness I was naive enough to not know better and not listen to the world and not see the lines. You just got to do that. You got to have that drive. The next thing that I found interesting about this man was his ability to be compassionate and relatable and genuine. And look, I had a lot of success at one point in my life to where I went from, I mean, it was, we've been growing and things are great, but man, there was this one specific period where we went from like life-changing effect of success, where it was a couple levels. We skipped a couple levels. And I know that mentally it's hard because the money comes in and the success comes in and people affirmations come in and it can go to our heads. We think that we're more than we really are. And we forget we're just regular people every day all here trying to live in this world, just one day at a time with different circumstances, different experiences, different abilities. And we forget that and it goes to our head. And I asked him, he was telling me a little bit about his story and I asked him some questions and I asked him about the other crew and he was really fond of one specific crew member, the captain. And the captain, if you guys know, passed away just not that long ago. I did not know that. And I had asked him, if they stay in contact and he got emotional a little bit and said, he actually passed away. And here was what was so cool about this. And here's something I hope, if you don't hear anything else I say today, I hope you hear this. But Ted said to me that the captain was such a remarkable person. He said when he was in his, I don't remember what it was, second or third or fourth year, it was kind of going to his head. It was getting a little, like, look at what we're doing, how amazing we are. And it was this gentleman, the captain, that pulled him aside and along with the doc from the show and said, hey, this is our home. This sets our home. When we have co-stars on here, when we have people on here, they're our guests. And we're going to serve them and love them. And, that struck a chord with me, the idea of they said that, you should serve them. And this concept of service and this concept of hospitality and giving people an experience. Man, I love that. And it just shows me the humility that this man must have had. But really just the impact that must have had on Ted. Ted's, I don't know how old he is. He looks like he's in his 50s, maybe 60s. I think I read online he's actually in his 70s. But this season 3 or 4, we're talking the late 70s. We're in the, 2024 now, 2023 now. What are we looking at? 50 years ago that this event took place and that this huge impact on him, and it's now being told to me on a plane, being told in a speech to a bunch of people. That's powerful. That's impact. So if you want to make impact on people, what you do on this earth will not sustain, but how you impact others will. It's people with people. People serving people or people taking advantage of people, but it's people with people. Look, I used to say something's being sold in every conversation. Every conversation that's happening anywhere, something's being sold. You're either selling the idea that you're cool or you've got value or that, you did some cool, whatever it is. I'm just trying to think of conversations that don't involve actual traditional sales. There's still something being sold in there. Think about conversations you had with your wife back when you first started meeting, when you first started dating. You were selling yourself. We're constantly selling ourselves or we're being sold. It's so crazy to me. I've even watched people who are anti-sales, who don't like people who are salesy or fast talkers, and they're selling themselves in a totally different way, but they're still doing it. I've got 8 kids. Every single one of them knows how to sell. They all do it very differently and quite honestly, effectively, which is a problem that I'm dealing with that I have to work on. But they're good. They're really good. They understand it's people with people. We learn that all the time. The circumstances of life is not the reality. I've got a special needs daughter. And everybody, they find that out. A lot of times people will be empathetic and they'll say things like, oh, I'm sorry to hear that. And I'm like, we're not. I'm sorry for my other 7 kids who understand and can process the circumstances of life because they have to navigate that. She doesn't. She doesn't. She's just living. Man, she is living. Full of emotion, full of joy. Sometimes it's not so joyful. She's full of emotion. All of the emotions. She's living. People with people. It's all she knows is people. And she is smart. She might not be able to do some of the math and some of the English that other kids her age can do, but man, is she smart. She knows people. She knows how to work people. Whoever you are right now listening, if you came into my home and you met her, wrapped, 15 seconds. Maybe I should say 8. No one can, that bull is 8 seconds. That's what it is. You'll be wrapped around her finger in 6, 7, 5, 4, 3, 2. You won't make it 8 seconds. Okay, people with people. We can learn a lot from this. You're in service plumbing, you're in plumbing, but you're in service. That means people with people. If you own a business, you're people with people. You ought to take that kind of energy and time to study people that you did studying business and finance, that you did studying marketing, that you did studying plumbing, that you did studying whatever it is that you do. Because the people side of it is equally important, if not more. You ought to take that time and energy. Look, I love you guys. And we can learn so much in this world. But if you don't have drive, and you have skill, it just won't be enough. In fact, drive will outwork skill any day of the week. Okay, this all comes from mindset. We have to work on our mindset. Our mind is controlling the rest of every other resource that we have access to, internally and externally. Our mind is very powerful. And how you program it, how you put information into it will determine what it spits out, what it then does as a computer. Your brain's a computer. Okay, be careful with what you're putting into your computer. Be careful what you're putting into your brain. Be careful what you're allowing to speak into the very thing that then controls everything else you do. Okay, having drive starts from having the right mindset, having the right attitude, having the right perspective. Okay, that's how we get that drive. And then the second part is impacting people. It doesn't matter how great the building is you built. It just matters how you interacted with people while you built it. It doesn't matter how good the plumbing is that you did. It matters how you interacted with people while you did it. We expect the plumbing to be done correctly. That's not an achievement. That should be the expectation. How you impact people will be the achievement. I love you guys. Remember, serve your community in everything, not just plumbing. Have a great day.
Thanks for listening to the Plumbing Sales Coach podcast. Be sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram, and check us out on the web at theplumbingsalescoach.com.